What's going on, Packers fans? Welcome to some extra cheese on a Sunday afternoon after the Packers have hit the practice field. We heard from Matt LaFleur prior to practice. And of course, the big news of the day, David Bakhtiari is off the PUP and participating in practice. No team stuff just yet, just individual, but it's great to see him back out there. I know most Packers fans are really excited, except for one, James Weston, in the comments section here already. I mean, a litany of downer comments from James, starting with, "Who is the guy in the thumbnail? Just kidding. That's David. I used to play for the Packers, Bakhtiari. He used to be pretty good. 3 years ago. Sucks he hasn't been able to walk since 2019. All Green Bay's best players get wiped out. James, first of all, of course you have a dog, Abby. Second, you ain't carrying the G, my friend. And I got a little something for you. I'm sorry, buddy, but you've driven me to this. Son, we live in a world that has quarterbacks, and those quarterbacks have to be guarded by offensive linemen. Who's going to do it? You? You, James Weston? David Bakhtiari has a greater responsibility than you could possibly fathom. You weep for those lost playoff games, and you curse David's injury. You have that luxury. You have the luxury of not knowing what I know, that David's rehab, while arduous, will probably save Aaron Rodgers' life in 2022. And his extended absence, while grotesque and incomprehensible to you, will save quarterbacks' lives. You don't want the truth because deep down in places you don't talk about at parties, you want David on that offensive line. You need David on that offensive line. The Packers medical staff uses words like honor, code, loyalty. They use these words as the backbone of a life spent ensuring guys are ready to go when they step on the field. You use them as a punchline. I have neither the time nor the inclination to explain Bakhtiari's journey to a man whose favorite team rises and sleeps under the blanket of quarterback protection that Bakhtiari provides and then questions the manner in which he provides it. I would rather you just said thank you and went on your way. Otherwise, I suggest you try coming back from nightmarish complications surrounding your ACL rehab and try to take on NFL edge rushers. Either way, I don't give a damn what dismissive bullshit you want to type into the YouTube comments section." Okay, had to get off my chest. Hope you're all doing well. Happy Sunday, everybody. That's right, Bakhtiari's back, and Christian Watson participating in team stuff for the first time. Very excited to get the rookie out there. Hopefully, we'll see him on Thursday night. Hello to everybody in the comments. Hope you're all doing well. Shout out to all the regulars. Big B is here. Of course, Big B is here. Dash, what's up, man? Tell him, Nags. Oh, you know, I'm trying, man. I'm trying. Doing the best I can. Someone started day drinking early today. No, actually, this is literally right here, sir. My very first sip of beer of the day will be right here. There we go. There we go. Witnessing it live. Ah, there you go. There you go. First one of the day. Feels beautiful. Hey, why don't I give a little shout out to the Carry the G Club. You know, I don't have to talk about our friends over at Ticket King, though you should visit them. But, it's always good time to remind everybody that you can join the Carry the G Club. That's right. We're kicking off the 2022 season with a brand new way for Packers fans worldwide to hang out with us here at Cheesehead TV. The Carry the G Club members get custom loyalty badges showing how long you've been a club member attached to your name and all our live streams and YouTube comments. You get special Cheesehead TV emojis featuring Corey and myself, and access to our weekly virtual happy hour to come hang out and talk Packers all year long. Joining the Carry the G Club is as easy as tapping the join button you see on the YouTube version of the desktop version of YouTube, not the mobile version, which seems to have an insane problem trying to get the join button to show up at all. So do that, folks. If you want to join us for the happy hour, we'll be back at it on Tuesday night. Last week was a lot of fun. Hope you can all join us. Good times. Good times. Ready for our wide receivers to shut everyone up and ball out. Go Pack, go. Thanks, Nags. I hear you, Russell. Look, it's not going to be, I don't suspect it's going to be some kind of like, you know, Star Wars numbers right out the gate kind of thing. But I do think they'll be a hell of a lot better than probably the rest of the league is giving them credit for. Of that, I have no doubt. Gil, thanks for joining the Carry the G Club. Greatly appreciate it, buddy. What else we got? Make sure I didn't miss any super chats. That'd be bad. Okay, that's good. That's good. Got that. There we go. Where's Tom Grossi? We need Tom Grossi for wide receiver. That needs to happen. Definitely. Do I think Royce Newman will be a starter? Ivan, I suspect he'll be the starter at right guard. Now, we'll see. Maybe somebody jumps up here in this last week or so and on Thursday night's preseason game. But I suspect, hopefully, Jenkins will be your starter at right tackle, and then Newman will be your starter at right guard. That is my guess as of right at this moment. But things can change. We shall see. Joe O, thanks for the super chat. Someone needs to give James a code red. Exactly. Jennifer, how is 85 looking? I saw some clips of Rodgers throwing to Tonyan today. He's not quite, you know, ready to jump into the team stuff yet, but hopefully next week when they're getting prepared, heading into that bye week and then coming into the week one preparations for Minnesota, hopefully he's ready to go. Joe, thanks for the super chat. Getting Jenkins back might be more important than getting Bakhtiari back. Reason being, I feel better about Yash at left tackle than I do about options at right tackle. I feel you, but I don't feel bad about Zach Tom at right tackle. Zach Tom Bombadil is said to be able to control and bend his surroundings to his own will. You can get that shirt at the Cheesehead TV shop. Got to do it, people. But I hear you. I do like Jenkins at right tackle, probably the best out of all the options. I don't think there's any question there, but I don't feel terrible about the idea of Zach Tom possibly starting there if necessary. Now, I'll tell you what I don't feel great about is Royce Newman at right tackle and all the kind of stuff that follows that. You know, I don't see Newman as a tackle at all, and they keep rolling him out there. And I know they got to find out what everybody can do at every position and get as much information as they can, but it's I do not want to see Newman anywhere near the tackle position when the regular season begins. Luke, thanks to the super chat. Happy Sunday, Nags. It's pretty amazing how open Dobbs gets. Love his footwork this early. Yeah, his ability to stack guys off the line of scrimmage is pretty damn impressive. We've talked about it a lot here this last kind of week or so. Everything I saw in camp, you've seen it in the preseason games. He has an uncanny knack for getting off whatever guys are trying to do to him at the line and getting on top of them quick and making sure he gets that first kind of burst of separation past the initial defense. It's damn impressive. Will the starters be playing a few possessions in game three? To be determined. Matt won't give up the answer to that quite yet. I suspect not. Anything can happen. We'll see what the next couple days end up looking like, but I would suspect probably not. That is just my guesswork. Leaving Tom Bombadil out of the films is the only mistake Peter Jackson made with Lord of the Rings. See, now if I start talking about Lord of the Rings, then the same dude who was in the comment section last week complaining that I talked about Star Wars will probably complain that I talked about Lord of the Rings. But you're probably correct. Does Zach Tom know who Tom Bombadil is? That's a great question. I never got a chance to ask him in the locker room. But I'm sure we'll find out throughout the season. Are the Packers four deep at inside backer now? Okay, well, I know people are excited about the play of the inside backers in preseason, but I think we should all slow our roll just a little bit. I think they're effective. I think they're serviceable. I don't think they're, you know, starting caliber four deep. I think they've got some guys who can come and play. Isaiah McDuffie in particular has really shown out here in preseason and in camp. He has certainly looked rangy enough. Shown good kind of reaction to whatever action is getting placed in front of him, whether that's, you know, the run action, guys pulling, not taking false steps and things of that nature. I think he was a little bit out of position on that shallow cross, mid cross really, on that third down on Friday night. But for the most part, he's played really damn well. And it's certainly nice to see a draft pick. I think both he and Shamar John Charles have really taking that next step that you want to see from year one to year two. And, you know, it's really in stark contrast to what you saw from Ty Summers on Friday night, who looks exactly like he's looked the entire time he's been in Green Bay. And look, I know he's one of their core key special teams guys, but man, he just proves again and again to be a liability from scrimmage. And hopefully McDuffie kind of knocks him down the chart, so to speak, from scrimmage anyway. With Daphne back on IR, any chance he's able to come off? Not totally sure what his injury is. Yes, Jonathan, he's on IR, but since he's been placed on IR prior to the season starting, that would end his year. Now they could cut him with an injury settlement at some point. He's been dealing with a knee injury, so they'll either hold him for the year or let him go at some point. Marcus, thanks for the super chat. What are confident, concerned, and curious about this new Game of Thrones show? Apologies in advance to the stick to football people. What are confident? Are you? What am I confident about? Concerned? I'm not concerned about anything. The fact that D&D are nowhere near this project gives me all the confidence in the world. I was talking to my girls about this morning because I am very excited to watch it tonight. What am I curious about? How much I care about the characters initially. What kind of writing there is to kind of reveal who these people are and how much I buy in right away. You know, one of the things that was so amazing about the first series and the initial, you know, the original series was how quickly drawn a lot of those characters became, and the work they did, obviously putting a lot of characters in front of you really quickly, and you're kind of identifying with certain characters instantly and becoming attached to them and being emotionally involved in them. I think that's the thing that I'm most curious about. Trying not to prejudge anything, right? It's really hard. Patrick, thanks for the super chat. Go Pack Go, 69 is back. Thank you, buddy. Greatly appreciated. Christopher Preston, thanks for joining the Carry the G Club. Let's do it. What else we got? What else we got? Michael. Hey, Nags. Hey, Michael. How are you? Jeezy Baby, thanks for the super chat. What was the best preseason performance you remember from unknowns to making the team? I'll never forget, and I think any Packers fan who was, you know, obsessively following the team back then can attest to this. Like, Desmond Howard legit went from there's no chance he makes the team to, oh yeah, he's your returner for the year throughout that preseason, and especially the last preseason game. It's crazy because he looked, I'm not going to say lost, but he looked like there was no chance that he was going to make the team. And then the final preseason game, he absolutely burst onto the scene and basically claimed the job. And that's why, you know, evaluators always talk about it. And I think Gutekunst has brought this up more than once. You know, as frustrating as it can be for fans and even some players when they're not playing, etc., all that preseason action is just absolute gold for talent evaluators, you know, and it's not always so dramatic, right? It's not always that kind of situation, like where you have this huge star turning kind of exposition, but you know, there's just every bit of tape with live reps is just invaluable, especially now in a league where you only get those three preseason games. There are so very, very few practices. And even when you go quote live, you're not really tackling, you're not going to the ground. You're not really that, you're not as physical as you would be in a game. So those reps are just become more and more precious. And that's why, you know, the personnel people really value these games. And like, they try to get as much information out of them as possible. Make sure I don't miss anybody. Almost missed Jeezy Baby. Can't have that. What else we got? We got the Badger Trio. Thanks to Super Chat. After Thursday, is practice closed to the media? I believe so. I know we have we had them out there today, and they'll be out there, I suspect, the next two. But after the last preseason game, they will go into their mini bye, and then when they start preparations for the season that first week, I would suspect, yeah, practice will be back to regular season mode, which means the media, it's not closed in the sense of there's no media at all, but media will be there for basically attendance taking, you know, like they'll be there for stretch. And then once they start team stuff, the media will get kicked out. Do I think Caleb Jones is a candidate for the practice squad? 1,000,000,000%. I'm telling you, I think I wrote it in Gut Reactions. I did not expect much out of this kid coming into camp, but my goodness, he has shown out in these preseason games and looked really good as practice has gone along, camp went along. I never in a million years expected him to be as light on his feet as he has shown. There were a couple of those outside toss plays on Friday night where he just gets out there and just envelops guys. I mean, just absolutely takes them over. It's impressive to see a guy that big, that tall, moving with such ease. You talk about an athlete. I don't think he's, one of the beat people wrote, might have been Spoon, wrote that he's got a shot at the 53. I still think that's a real long shot. I mean, possibly, maybe. I don't think they worked the numbers, but I think he has practice squad written all over him. And that is a real interesting project. But yes, 100% he's got a shot, no doubt. Dave, thanks for the super chat. With a wide receiver who struggles with drops but has high upside, does it make sense to target them more on explosives and less so on low upside plays? For example, you could live with MVS drops. I mean, yes, when you're sitting there like behind a computer keyboard and theorizing, probably, but when you're in the moment, you're trying to like generate plays, right? You're trying to move the chains. You're trying to be efficient. You're trying to, throw the ball. You know what I mean? Like, you're behind center. You're not thinking of those things. You're whatever the play design is, you're going to go to whoever's open in hopefully the progression of your read. You're not thinking about that kind of thing. Now, does Matt put in a few more plays to try and augment that kind of thing? Possibly. But I just think more than anything, it's about Aaron trusting guys. And if, you know, he wants to throw to a guy in certain situations, he's going to, and he's going to try and like give him opportunities. Never forget, you know, as frustrating as drops can be, we've seen so many guys struggle with them, especially early in their career, whether it's James Jones, his drops were fucking brutal early on in his career. Jordy Nelson. If Jordy Nelson catches like three of his drops in the Super Bowl, Aaron Rodgers is setting records, you know, more records than he already set in that Super Bowl. But Aaron kept going back to him in that game, you know? So, you know, Devontae Adams' drops are well, you know, documented early on in his career. Like, I know we saw drops on Friday night, but man, that's part of the gig when you're coming from college to the NFL and you got your mind is swimming, you're doing a billion things. And yeah, sometimes you're going to turn your head before you catch it and you're going to drop it. You're going to move before you're going to try and make a football move before you secure the football. You're going to see that. That is going to happen. It's really up to those guys to do the work and correct it. You know, I don't think it's incumbent on the quarterback to be kind of thinking along those lines, Dave. You've got a million things on your plate as a quarterback, and even as a play caller, a play designer. Like, it's the job of the wide receiver to catch the football. And as frustrating as it will be when these guys make mistakes, and they will make mistakes, just remember they are very young. They're very, very young. And hopefully they will work on those mistakes and get better. Am I this excited for week one every year, Krista? I don't know. I know I am. Tyler Goodson, Iowa. Well played, Brandy. Well played. Tyler had a good game on Friday night. A couple of those zone runs. There was one in particular got him down into the red zone. My goodness, you talk about classic outside zone run where he presses the line and then waits for that kind of the wash of the offensive line to get by him and then plant his foot in the ground and get upfield. So well done. Really well done. Hit that like. Thanks, Christopher. When do I think Crosby is coming back? Most likely, I would suspect after the bye week, the mini bye, that, you know, after what you would have been in the past, the fourth preseason game, Labor Day weekend. I think after that. That would be my guess. Okay, I got that one. Got that one. Got Patrick's, got Marcus, got Luke, Jeezy Baby. Just making sure I don't miss any. Got Luke again, got Joe. See, I got them all. Someone out down there telling me I missed some. Andy Herman seemed a little down on Wyatt. I think a lot of people were down on Wyatt. I mean, I think the guys with the Press Gazette wrote about it in their piece, Eric and Pete. And I get it. I'm never going to be down on a rookie defensive lineman ever. I don't care where he's selected. It's probably, if you talk to NFL people, it's probably the toughest position out, you know, along with tight end, where you see the transition take place very, very slowly. And, you know, as much as it would obviously be fantastic if we got like a ton of disruption and penetration from the young man right away off the bat, I suspect it'll probably be a work in progress throughout this rookie season. Hopefully they get a little bit more out of him as the year goes on. But traditionally, defensive linemen take a little bit longer. And, you know, it's just been the way of, you know, basically in the NFL for a very, 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 very long time. So as much as we're going to see from Quay Walker, who's going to be active, and we've already seen him even in small doses in preseason, I would suspect Wyatt will take a little while. So, I get you where you selected in the first round. People are going to expect stuff right away. And he's an older player, so people are going to be impatient, and that's their prerogative. But I'm not. I'm not impatient at all. Too old for this. Thanks to the Super Chat. I think most starters, apart from 12 and 33, should play a bit on Thursday. Love needs reps with ones in the game. The drops let him down. Yeah, I mean, look, I think Matt hit it on the head today in his availability. You know, there's no right answer. And while I understand the desire to get guys out there and playing and get a few reps, get a few series in, all that, they're doing a lot of that in practice. And they did a lot of that against the Saints in those joint practices. And I don't see how, and Aaron said this at his locker the other day, you know, I don't see how a handful of snaps against Kansas City on Thursday night and then taking a week off and then coming back and getting ready for Minnesota and then playing Minnesota, those two series or whatever is really going to get you going, really going to sharpen you up. Maybe back in the day when, you know, there was another preseason game or what have you, but I just don't, you know, I'm of the mind that, like, I know week one colors from last year colors everybody's perception of this. And there's a little doubt that if the Packers come out slow again, they will get lambasted for not playing their starters in the preseason. And I totally get it. I just think it's a risk reward proposition for a very long season that now features 17 regular season games. I don't have any problem with not playing your starters in the preseason. I just don't. But again, like Matt said, there's no right answer. I think it boils down to what's right for you. And I think for the Packers, it's probably best if they don't. That's just me. Dave, thank you for the super chat. Can the Packers get 11 players on special teams play? Well, Dave, you know, they went with 12 and then they went with 10. So maybe by law of averages, this next time they'll get 11. It'll be very exciting. I'm very excited for 11 guys to line up on special teams. And it was interesting. It was funny watching Matt get a little, I won't say testy, but sensitive, a little touchy when Ryan asked about it after the game. I think Matt's got to be so frustrated with all that shit, right? Like, man, I just want to coach this team. I got Bisaccia here now. Isn't it supposed to be taken care of? And now he's still getting asked about it because they had 10 dudes on special teams. Like, poor Matt. I mean, I think Matt's done all he can do, right? He's hired this expert in Bisaccia. They've got two other fucking coaches on special teams. They spent more time on teams this camp than I ever remember them spending under LaFleur, like since he's been in town, and they're still screwing up. Like, at some point, Packers are just cursed, man. Did I get anything at the pro shop while in Green Bay? Brett, I did. I got some stuff for London, and I got a really nice gift from the pro shop. They gave me a Lambeau Field bottle opener and some London magnets, which I greatly appreciate. Nags, do you think Tyler Davis needs to ball out this Thursday to make the team? Yes. Yes, I do. Look, I really liked Tyler Davis's potential coming into this summer. Zero doubt about it. We heard Gutekunst talk about it after the draft. Really, really disappointed in what we've seen from him in these two preseason games. And I think he's had a solid camp. Like, I know he's had a false start penalty here and then a drop pass there, whatever. But, you know, in most, I'd say 90% of the camp practices, he has been really solid and looked good and made plays every day and caught a bunch of over routes and from both Aaron Rodgers and Jordan Love. Like, it doesn't matter who's throwing him the ball. He's had a good camp. But, man, both of these preseason games have been atrocious. And that does not look like the guy we saw toward the end of last year. Obviously, he didn't have a ton of production, but he played well when called upon. His blocking was up to snuff. He certainly seemed to make the adjustments Rodgers expected him to at the line of scrimmage. Like, everything was promising last summer. Or, I'm sorry, at the end of last season. But, man, these preseason games have been hard to watch. Yes, I think a above-average showing is necessary for Davis to secure a spot on the team. And I'm not with all the people on Friday night who were like, oh, he's got to be cut. He's got to be gone. Like, patience. Let's see how he responds, and let's see what happens on Thursday night and this rest of this week of practice. I think he could still help them, but man, he's got to get his shit together. There is zero doubt about that. And who knows? Maybe I'm falling into the Ted Thompson trap, right? Like, just thinking he can help you and holding on too long when it's obviously time to cut bait, which is entirely possible. But I do think he can still help them. I feel much better about our O-line now. Yeah, it's amazing what getting Jenkins and Bakhtiari back will do for you. Now, obviously, they're not back. Not back yet. They're not in the mix to start week one just yet. But they're off the PUP, which means they can't go on the PUP to start the regular season, which means they'll probably most likely be on the 53. And that is a huge step in the right direction. No doubt about that. All right, everybody, I'm going to have to get going. I can't thank you enough for hanging out, talking Packers each and every day, Monday through Friday, right here on the Cheesehead TV social channels, and then some extra cheese on Sundays. Because when you know, when the Packers practice, you got to chat about it. You got to talk to your friends, Packers fans worldwide, because that's what we do here. Please, please, please tell your friends and tell your family, Cheesehead TV, we are devoted to Green Bay Packers fans worldwide. I'll be back tomorrow, everybody. Hope you have a great day. Go Pack, go.